Tom. I'm Gordon Griffin.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Joining us now, representative from Georgia, Congressman Republican from the 8th District, that's kind of the central south area of Georgia, is Austin Scott. Congressman Scott, it's been a long time. Great to have you, man.
Last time I saw you in person, I think we were in Fulton County, Georgia.
I know, right? I think we had you, we were sponsoring a debate when you were running for governor, right? Remember that?
That's right.
Somewhere a long time ago, and I always got to tell this story. You were running for governor. There were a bunch of high-profile candidates, right? Congressman Nathan Deal and Karen Handel was in it, and a bunch of other – there was a state senator from the South. Can't remember him. But there was a bunch of people in it, and so Austin Scott does this. This is one of the first time this was done. He does this walk through Georgia or something, and he started, I don't know, all the way up in the Appalachian Trail in Dalton or something, and – walk through the state, through Atlanta, and it took you like, what, 2-3 weeks, didn't it?
I think it was 63 days with very short feet. It was 1,068 miles, and Walking Lawton did it in Florida, and that's where the idea came from. And, you know, John, we didn't have the money for the race, and our concept was you got 159 counties. If you can raise $100 for 100 people in 159 counties, you don't have to take any PAC money. And that would be $1.59 million, and that'd be enough to run the race. And, of course, now the race has cost 20 or 30 times that.
I know. It's like in Virginia,
not good for our democracy.
For the House of Delegates, which is like your House of Representatives. And I just got this the other day. One of the states that we cover extensively, they spent $65 million on this past cycle's House of Delegates races. Just an ungodly amount of money. Hey, Congressman, if you could do us a favor, I just got a note from our producer here. If you could take us off the speakerphone for our listeners, that would be a little bit clearer. Let's get to impeachment. Your colleague in Georgia, Doug Collins, mutual friend of ours, blasting the process. But now impeachment is real. Obviously, Pelosi has the votes for impeachment. Congressman, what is your assessment of this whole thing?
Well, if you watch our friend, and I'm on a speakerphone, I apologize. I don't have one I can't pick up the handset on this particular.
No worries.
I'll try to speak close into the issue.
No worries.
Watched Doug Collins the other day when he got to start cross-examining Daniel Goldman, who's Adam Schiff's lawyer, because Adam Schiff didn't have the courage to show up to the meeting. Daniel Goldman said, well, you pick an event of significance in the investigation and you start to build the circumstantial case. And basically that's what they've done. They have just built a circumstantial case against the president. It is, they have former law professors that are saying that if the president had any evidence of his innocence, that he should bring it forward. Well, certainly that's the way it works in socialist countries around the world, countries like Cuba and Venezuela and other things, that you attack your political enemies and they have to prove their innocence. That's not the way it's supposed to work in America, John. And the sad thing about all of this is that I think it's reset, if you will, the standard going forward for impeaching the president. If they're going to abide by this, if they're going to change the standard to what they've changed it to, then every future president of the United States will be impeached unless they control the House of Representatives.
So they have politicized it, right? So now what you have is basically if you've got a Democratic president and a Republican-controlled Congress and you don't like the president's policies or you don't like the way he chews gum or what he tweets out or an interview he did or whatever you don't like, you can just – make up things for impeachment and go forward with it and tie the country up in knots for months, right? I mean, that's basically what they've done.
Sure. I mean, if we had used the same standard, I mean, you could go back. If we had used the same standard, you've got Benghazi, you've got the open mic comment by Barack Obama, where he told the president of Russia, you know, hey, tell Vladimir that as soon as the election's over, I'll change my policies. You could go back to the VA scandal. You could go back to Lois Lerner. You could go back. I mean, if this is going to be, if the standard that they're going to use to impeach President Trump is going to be the standard that she's going forward, then every president in the future of this country that does not control the House, whose party does not control the House of Representatives, will be impeached.
And you know what, Congressman Scott, I think it was Alexander Hamilton, right, that warned against that. And one of the things about the Constitution he didn't approve of was the impeachment clause. And his view was just beat the president in an ensuing election because he predicted this would happen.
Well, and if you look back historically, you've had enough character in the leaders of the House that you haven't had this happen. I mean, Clinton, we had Clinton's in 99, and then you got to go all the way back to, of course, we had Nixon, but then you had Andrew Johnson in 1868.
Right.
You know, Nixon resigned, but they're throwing this thing out as if it's as if there's nothing to it. And this issue is so serious, John. One of the things that's not being talked about is once it passes the House of Representatives, I think the Senate has 5 days to adopt the rules. But once those rules are adopted, I don't know if the Senate can do anything other than the impeachment trial.
No, they can't. In fact, Senator McConnell, the majority leader, has cleared the calendar for January, cleared it, wiped it out. There's nothing else on the Senate calendar. I mean, can you imagine this? We're going into an election year, and the entire month of January, from when they get back January 4th through January 31st, he has cleared the calendar for nothing but the impeachment trial. And this is the other thing, Congressman, that people don't realize. This is a trial. If you're a U.S. senator, it's like showing up for jury duty, right? You have to be there. You can't be out. Bernie Sanders can't be out campaigning in Iowa. Either can Beth Warren. They have got to show up there. Same thing with Cory Booker. They've got to be sitting there 15 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week, so they can only campaign in the weekends. I mean, this thing is a total mess, but you're right. There's the rules, and they're going to have to follow them, which gets us to USMCA, which we have been pushing for, finally passes with some minor revisions yesterday. But now the Senate is telling us, look, we can't get to this until mid-February because of impeachment. The changes made to USMCA, can you live with those, Congressman?
Yes, absolutely. John, our request, and this affected the Georgia and the Florida growers, where we do a lot of fruit and vegetables, as you know, and if you look at the parallels on the globe, our growing season is the same as Mexico's. And so there are certain labor practices and other things in Mexico that give them a significant advantage over U.S. farmers. And we have, Secretary Lighthizer and the administration have agreed to some, it'll effectively be reporting issues and things that are happening with regard to Mexico that give them a competitive advantage over U.S. agriculture, but we're very appreciative of the administration, the secretary working with us to get language that will help expose where growing practices or chemicals that are illegal to use in the United States, if those are being done in Mexico, then we want to make sure that the U.S. consumers aware of those.
When you look at USMCA, there's some estimates say that it's going to have a huge impact on U.S. farmers, the timber industry, dairy farmers, but also light and medium manufacturing, small businesses. When Mike Pence, the vice president, was on my show the other day, he said that it could actually increase U.S. GDP by a full 1%, like it can go to 2.5% growth to 3.5%. Are you as excited about USMCA as I am, and why or why not?
Look, I think trade's good for America. I think USMCA is part of it. I think the other thing that we've got to go back and revisit is making sure that we're continuing to update our trade agreements with Southeast Asia as well. The Trans-Pacific mm-hmm. Partnership is not something that we're going to be a part of, but we need access to those Asian markets. I think the president has done a good job with China. I think any other president would have folded their cards with China. China is not our friend. In fact, I would go so far as to say China is our enemy. Mm-hmm. I recognize that having them as a trade partner is certainly better than not having them as a trade partner, but they have taken advantage of America for a long, long time, and I'm thankful that we have a president that's putting an end to that. USMCA, I think, is the first one that will be adopted, but I have every confidence in the world that the president is going to get to a good trade deal with China as well. And, you know, all we need is a square deal in America. You give us a square deal and we'll beat you.
Well, the president campaigned on getting out of these multinational trade agreements like TPP and going to more of a bilateral set of trades, whether it be with the United Kingdom, China, Vietnam. Now, he's looking for one-on-one, mano-a-mano bilateral trades, which he says are in the best interest of the U.S. rather than being these global type things with all their own rules. You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Trucking the Truth, live in Washington, D.C. We're with Congressman Republican Austin Scott. He represents the 8th District of Georgia, my old stomping ground, and that is kind of central and heading south, Georgia, way south of Atlanta and the suburbs. Congressman Scott, I want to get to a couple other things that now that impeachment is done, even though it's going to the Senate, they're going to vote on it. You're going to get no Republican votes, probably 5 or 6 Dems go the other way. But let's get to a couple other important issues. And one of them that we've been covering is getting rid of or stopping surprise medical billing, which is affecting now thousands of Americans. I've covered it because it happened to me. I got a $7,200 surprise bill in the mail. I had no idea what it was for after a procedure I had done. I had nothing to do with it, but yet I'm stuck with the bill. And if you don't pay it, you get a judgment. You get garnished, all that stuff. Right. And there's two approaches. One is rate setting, where the government comes in and sets the rate. And the other one is arbitration, where the patient is removed from the debate. And we get this worked out so you're not home one day, you open up your mail and get a $10,000 bill. And I think rate setting is a disaster. Have you investigated any of these, and kind of where do you stand on it, sir?
Absolutely. And let's remember the third option, which may be the best option, is the states have the ability to adopt laws that protect the consumer as well. And so the state of Georgia and many other states have already adopted laws, and it pains me somewhat to say it, but the New York model is actually a pretty good model, and that is similar to what the state of Georgia has adopted. And this is, you know, John, healthcare is not really a free market, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't get to choose when we need it. We don't get to choose what we need.
Right.
The Affordable Care Act took insurance competition away, and by the way, left the health insurance industry exempt from the antitrust laws of the country, while we got a mandate to purchase their product. And mm-hmm. how has that worked out? If you were if you're a shareholder in United Healthcare or Humana or Aetna, it worked out pretty good for you. But if you're the guy paying the bills on the outside, It has hurt. It hurt my family, and it's hurt the vast majority of Americans. I do think that there is an agreement on the surprise medical billing. It was announced on December the 9th, and the key issue here, John, is it is one of the first pieces of legislation that actually gives the healthcare consumer rights, and one of the things that is a problem for us as patients is we have very little competition in the insurance industry, so we don't have the right, if you will, to pick our own plan anymore. Who our plan contracts with as the physician is who we end up having to see or pay the out of pocket cost. And even if we go to a surgeon who's in the network, there may be a radiologist or an anesthesiologist or an emergency room physician that's out of network, and we just get skewered with these bills.
Right.
Be unreasonable. And so it's not perfect, but it does give the healthcare consumer some rights. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, John, the thing that I would encourage people to do is keep pushing your state legislators to work on this issue as well, because the law passed in the state of Georgia this past year. The states move significantly faster than we do. But for the first time, at least in the state of Georgia, you're going to have some state protections, and I do believe you'll have some federal protections on this that will send this into arbitration but not rate setting.
John Fredericks, Radio Network. We're with Austin Scott, Republican Congressman, 8th District, Georgia. That's the South Central area. Congressman Scott, let me ask you this. What about prescription drugs? It looks like you guys had a deal. I talked to your colleague Bobby Scott the other day. Like, there was a deal with prescription drug pricing worked out. Nancy Pelosi got a hold of it and put things in there that now Republicans can't vote for. What is the status of this now?
Well, again, this is one of those things that if you took the squad and people who think like that out of the equation, then we would have a bill that probably 90% of the members of the House would vote for that would put transparency and competition into the pharmaceutical model.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, as has happened with impeachment, a select small group of people are driving the agenda of the Democratic Party, and the Nancy Pelosi of years gone by would have had the ability to control them, but now they seem to control her. And so the chairman of the committee and had to relent to the furthest left of his party to get the votes to pass the legislation, when if they would have been willing to work with the Republicans instead of the more liberal factions of their party, you could have had a bipartisan piece of legislation. But her goal, understand this, Nancy Pelosi does not want to put legislation on the floor that Republicans will vote for. She does not want Republicans having the ability to go home and saying, I voted to do this to help you with health care costs. It's just not in her mindset. And so she would rather cave to the 10% of the left in her party so that they have a 100% Democratic bill than to work with the people in the Republican Party and get a bill that 90% of us would actually vote for.
So she would rather fail the American people than give a victory to Republicans or President Trump.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, John, as someone who served at the state level before I came to the federal level, it wasn't like this at the state level. Mm-hmm. I had a piece of legislation. One of the big issues in pharmaceutical pricing is how much money the pharmacy benefit managers siphon out of the system. They provide absolutely nothing of value to the consumer, and in many cases they get more than the actual drug manufacturer does in the form of rebates. And it was about 20 years ago I put in a piece of legislation that would have required, at the state level, that would have required them to disclose the rebate to the end user. Mm-hmm. So if you went to the pharmacy and you got a prescription filled, Caremark or whoever else, the names have changed so much because they've consolidated so much, they've effectively monopolized, that they would have to share with you, the consumer, what the rebate was. It did not mandate that they couldn't receive a rebate, but it put transparency in the process.
And so that's what we need at the federal level. I mean, but I think what's aggravating to so many people, Congressman Scott, is we had a bill, like you said, 90% of Congress would have voted for it, both sides of the aisle, and she had to cave to the 10%. But it was the poison pill. What your assertion is, she did that purposefully in order to just have it so it can't pass. And then she could throw up her hands and say, well, McConnell didn't take it up. We need a Democratic Senate, right? I mean, that's her plan instead of getting something done now. All right, I'm almost out of time. I got under a minute. Can Republicans win the House back 2020?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing, John, I'll tell you, is if they had worked with President Trump on anything, If they had worked with him on immigration, if they had worked with him on transportation, if they had worked with him on those issues, mm-hmm. I think they might have beaten him in the next election because our party, it may have fractured our party, but they have absolutely unified the Republican Party. And these people that are in these Trump districts, like them or not, that voted to impeach the president already, because if you voted for the process, you voted for the impeachment. Those people, some of them are sitting in Trump plus three, Trump plus four, Trump plus five districts. Well, if Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden is their nominee, people aren't going to walk in and vote for President Trump and then turn around and vote for a Democrat who voted to impeach him.
Right.
And this thing gets to the Senate. Isn't it going to be interesting if we start to subpoena the travel records of Hunter Biden and see if he actually went to the Ukraine on a monthly basis for his $50,000 a month?
Right.
And that's and if he did go to the Ukraine, how did he travel?
Right.
I mean, there's going to be there are more questions than surrounding Hunter Biden than there are Donald Trump. And if one of President Trump's children had done that, who by the way are all wonderful people, regardless of what the press wants you to believe about President Trump's kids, they're all great people. If one of them had done that, they would be screaming to put them in prison right now.
Exactly. I mean, the double standard is just incredible. I'm out of time, but I just got one more quick question. Have you endorsed anybody in the Republican primary in Georgia's 6th district? That's Tom Price's old seat that was lost in the midterms. I think Brandon B. just got out. There's what? Karen Handel and a few others. Have you picked anybody in that race?
Karen's a great friend of mine. We've been friends a long time, and so my wife and I are supportive of Karen's campaign. And she was a good member when she was here. She's been through a lot. I think she deserves a chance to come back and govern again. And so I'm certainly supportive of Karen Handel.
Congressman Austin Scott, thank you for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
December 14th, 1799. George Washington, the Revolutionary War general who became America's first president, dies at his Mount Vernon estate in Virginia at age 67. 1911, Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen and his group become the first men to reach the South Pole. They beat out a rival expedition led by Robert F. Scott by more than a month. 1995, in Paris, leaders of Bosnia, Serbia, and Croatia sign an internationally brokered peace treaty. That move formally ends more than 3.5 years of bloodshed in the Balkans. And 1985.
Fastball hit deep to right, it's 58, way back there. Holy cow, it's it.
Baseball's Roger Maris, whose single-season home run record lasted more than 35 years, dies in Houston at age 51. Today in history, December 14th, Sandy Kozel, The Associated Press.
Work, 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 until the little bit.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOP.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Congressman John Lewis of Georgia has announced he has advanced pancreatic cancer, vowing he will continue serving in Washington while he fights the disease and undergoes medical treatment. Lewis, now 79 years old, is the youngest and last survivor of the Big Six civil rights activist out of a group once led by Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. The Kremlin says that the Russian president spoke with President Donald Trump to thank him for information that helped Russia foil terrorist attacks over the New Year's holiday. The Russian security forces say they detained two Russians suspected of preparing to carry out attacks in St. Petersburg during the upcoming holiday. The U.S. says it carried out military strikes in Iraq and Syria, targeting a militia blamed for an attack that killed an American contractor. Defense spokesman Jonathan Hoffman says U.S. forces conducted precision defensive strikes. This is SRN News.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
For limited time, go to MyPillow.com. When you buy a set of Giza Sheets, Mike will give you a set of Giza Sheets for free when you use promo code WBOB or call 800-950-9024 and give them promo code WBOB for this fantastic offer.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life, but there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working.
Join the live Twitter discussion.
I'm Twittering. Did you get my tweets? I just twoted all over the place.
Follow John Fredericks at JF Radio Show.
Bambaleo, bambaleo.
David Clark finally back on Twitter, right? Finally boycotted, but now he's back. He says, Ruth Ginsburg articulates why we elected Trump, because he isn't a lawyer. Lawyers have screwed this country up. Our greatest POTUS's presence were not lawyers. Lawyers made slavery go on longer than it should have in Plessy versus Ferguson and Dred Scott decision. David Clark, great tweet. And I kind of thought about that, and I was going through my mind, like, yeah, the worst presidents we had were lawyers. Now, we had a couple of non-lawyers that were kind of duds in there. I was not a George W. Bush fan, as you know, and I'm not sure if he was a lawyer or not. Jimmy Carter was a peanut farmer, right? So he wasn't a lawyer. I don't think he's up there in the top 10. But why don't you elaborate on that?
Sure. Let's go through this a little bit. First of all, the arrogant elitism of Ruth Ginsburg was on display with that. She was trying to admonish the president like he was a dullard, like he didn't know what he was talking about when it came to the law. And that's why I said, wait a minute, lawyers have screwed this country up. I named those two Supreme Court decisions there, was fought by lawyers to continue slavery. But, you know, if you go through the history of the United States and our presidents, all the way back to the first one, George Washington, 9 U.S. presidents never even attended college. As a matter of fact, George Washington had no formal education. You know, some of our best presidents, I would go on to say, have not been lawyers. You know, look at Ronald Reagan, look at, you know, George Washington, and there are some others. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was a lawyer, but he was self-taught. So I guess if you have to be so smart to be a lawyer and pass the bar, why didn't Abraham Lincoln have to go to law school? So you look at this and the way they think, and some of it is her, you know, formal education. I guess, they think that if you didn't go to Harvard or Yale Law School, that you're not worthy to even talk about the Constitution, talk about the law. I think nothing's further from the truth. You know, you mentioned George W. Bush. He went to business school, I believe, at Yale. But one of the problems that we have, I believe, in our government at the Supreme Court level, since she's the one that was flapping her gums and pointing to the Supreme Court, is that I think every current member of the Supreme Court, all the 9 justices, have attended either Harvard or Yale. So you have a very skewed and a very narrow view of the world from those two elitist colleges sitting on our high court. And I think that it's detrimental to how they view the world. And that isn't just my view. That's the view of one of the sitting members, who I will not name, out of confidentiality, who said that is a problem as he sees it. So I can narrow it down there if I said that he sees it. Is that they have a narrow view on the United States Supreme Court. So I think that came out, with her statement about the president of the United States.
Well, I tell you what, the elitism that is going on right now, we were reading a quote earlier by one of the so-called swing district Trump Democrats that decided to vote for impeachment. And one of them in our where our studio is, I'm in Richmond today, where my flagship is. She's right in the middle. This is Abigail Spanberger, and the statement she made, I just have to read it again because I just can't believe the elitism. I mean, this is a district. This is Virginia 7, where I'm in now, and Richmond, although we're in a bunch of markets in the southeast, Richmond, Virginia, is our flagship, where I am today. And so Spanberger, in a district that Trump carried by 7 points, all right, 7 points in 2016, I believe in 2020 he's going to carry it by 8 or 9, right? It's only going to get bigger. Here's what she says. I just can't believe this. It's with a heavy heart, a solemn devotion to our Constitution, and a deep belief in our country that I believe we must pursue this remedy. Translation. Trump voters are too stupid to have a job anyway. Screw them. I'm voting with Pelosi so I can get money to get reelected. I mean, that's basically the translation. This is a Trump plus 7 right here, right in the middle of it. And it's with a heavy heart. I mean, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you know, when people talk like that, and there have been some other Democrats, including Pelosi, you know, tried to be somber and they've tried to be serious, but there's nothing serious. There's nothing constitutional about what they've gone through. The impeachment process is constitutional, but not the way that they're carrying it out. And one thing I'm insulted by, because I think this whole thing has been an abomination. It's been an affront to the American people. I think the letter that the president wrote to Nancy Pelosi, kind of made the case of what a farce this whole thing has been. But to sit up there and try to BS us, to look us straight in the eye, and I think it's pathological when you can look into a camera or sit in front of a microphone and talk like you know, your representative there, or like Nancy Pelosi, I pray for the president. We really hate to do this. You know, every American with half a brain, you only need half a brain, excuse me, knows that this whole thing has been purely partisan, and it's trying to undo the 2016 election, as the president laid out in his letter. But I think worse than that, it shows the pettiness. They're trying to besmirch this president's record so that forever in history, when you bring up the name of President Trump, you know, they'll talk about being the third president in U.S. history, actually the second president in U.S. history that was ever impeached, and that'll always follow his line after President Donald Trump, and that's what this is about. Mm-hmm. This is a abuse of power, I think, on behalf of the Congress, Adam Schiff, Nadler, Pelosi, and any Democrat that votes for this. This is an abuse of power and a slap in the face to the American people for what we did in 2016.
Well, they can't beat him in 2020. They know that. So they're just, this is a political ploy. But look, I would have more respect for some of these Democratic congressmen if they simply came out and said, look, I got to elect. If Spanberger, Lori, any of these people I know, Max Rose that we've had on our show several times, and the guy in South Carolina, I can't think of his name, he's been on. If any of these Democrats came on and said, look, I'm voting for impeachment because I got elected as a Democrat. I won with a D by my name. And so I owe it to my party and those that voted for me as a Democrat, they wanted change. And so I'm going to stick with that. And we'll let the chips fall where they may in 2020, but that's what I'm going to do. I'd have respect for that. But, you know, he gave me this heavy heart, Constitution, baloney. You're voting for impeachment in Trump districts because if you don't, you will get smoked in a primary and you're out of a job. So the only chance you have is to go down the crazy path, go with the Pelosi plank, and then hope you get tons of money from the progressives and George Soros and everybody else in order to somehow stave off the Republican and squeak in. That's your only chance to keep your job. So be honest about it. That's why these people aren't voting for this because they believe with a heavy heart. It's political survival. Because if they vote no, they get beat in a primary that's 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, as far as 2020, let's separate that out because nothing's a given. I don't want our side to get overconfident or arrogant that Trump's re-election, President Trump, is an automatic, because 4 years ago at this time, a little over 4 years ago, I'd say, you know, the everybody thought, when I say everybody, I'm talking about the lying liberal media, talking about all the pollsters thought that Mrs. Bill Clinton was going to be the 45th president of the United States. So let's pump the brakes a little on that. But as for the rest of what you said, you're right. But in Washington, D.C., as your listeners know, politics trumps everything. Politics trumps, no pun intended when I say Trump, politics trumps the truth. Politics trumps the right thing to do. Politics trumps what's in the best interest of the American people. So everything, every move that's made in Washington, D.C., you know, by these arrogant Democrats is around politics. And so any Democrat that comes out that's in a district that Trump won in 2016 that talks like that, it's really about Nancy Pelosi, because Nancy Pelosi is very vengeful. Nancy Pelosi will make you pay. If you're a Democrat and you haven't been given permission, she'll give some of these Democrats permission.
Right.
To vote against this, to save their seats so that she can maintain her speakership and the Democrats can maintain the House. But if you haven't gotten her permission and you do this, you know when you're dealing with Nancy Pelosi, there will be hell to pay.
That's right. There will be hell to pay. All right. So right now there's only, I think, two or three Democrats remaining that haven't committed to voting for impeachment. I know that the one gentleman in South Jersey, Jeff Van Deer, he's switching parties. So I think they're down to, like, two Democrats that haven't made their mind up, Tulsi Gabbard being one of them. I don't even think she's in town, so she'll probably abstain and not vote. And I think there's somebody else from Michigan, and that's it. So everybody else is already – I thought that the Democrats, I thought 8 to 10 of them would vote no. It's going to be probably the only no vote they're going to have is a guy in Minnesota, Colin Peterson, that's been there for three decades, and that's it. One vote. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know why the guy from New Jersey, you know, switched parties. I guess it's a decision he has to make, but people don't trust that. If he felt this against impeachment, they should have just stayed a Democrat and just voted against it. Yeah. I would have had more respect for him to do that than to switch parties. But like I said, the folks in New Jersey, it's usually a political price to pay when you make a move like that.
Right.
But, you know, this thing will probably pass. You know, you mentioned Tulsi Gabbard as recent as yesterday. Again, she called for just censoring the president, censoring him and not impeaching him. But that's not going to happen. This thing will pass. If she didn't have the votes, she wouldn't call for
a vote. She has the votes. Question. She has the votes. And maybe, as I say, she'll lose one or two. That's it. Okay, I've got a minute and a half remaining. Well, Sheriff, here we are. Sunday, 3 days before Christmas, Cowboys at Eagles, 7-7, division on the line, playoffs on the line, everything on the line. Now, I know you're not a fan of Jason Garrett, but your coach has won 7 of 9 games in Philadelphia. So here we are. What do you think?
You do this on purpose, John, because you know I'm torn about this. I want Garrett gone, but he's not the only problem in Dallas. We talked about this last week. It's dysfunctional in the front office with the owner, but, you know, he's part of the problem. He's a symptom, let's put it that way. He's not the disease, but he's a symptom of the dysfunction there with his mediocrity. So, you know, I mean, deep down inside, you know, look, I always talk about being honest with people, and I have to do it here. Deep down inside, of course, I want the Cowboys to win.
Of course, I never hope
for them to lose.
You're going to sit there on Sunday with when the whining is said and done about Jason Garrett and your owner Jerry Jones, and you stop whining. You're going to sit there on Sunday. You're going to have a beer, and you're going to sit there with all your Cowboys gear on, and you're going to be cheering for the Cowboys. And every time they get a touchdown, you're going to be jumping up and down. And when they beat the Eagles, all is good because there's nothing that solves problems on a football team or a baseball team than winning. It's going to win, and then when you come on next week, you're going to be happy, and then they're going to win again, 9-7, and then they're going to get a home playoff game, and they're going to win again.
Yeah, the glass is half full, isn't it?
John Fredericks, Radio Network. Meantime, my Tennessee Titans hanging by so much as a thread trying to make the playoffs. Oh, my goodness, they have to beat New Orleans or they're done. I got to go. I got to bounce. Sheriff, I got to roll. My producer's going nuts. We will see you next week. Good luck to the Cowboys. Let's go to the phone lines. 888-480-JOHN. This is the day you want to call. 888-480-5646. Let's get to Rich in Virginia Beach. Rich, you're on the air.
Hey, John. I just want some politicians to take note in Virginia. Mr. Ralph Northam, Mr. Blackface Baby Killer, Justin Fairfax, Mark Herring, Tim Kaine, Mark Warner, and especially Elaine Luria. Trump's going to win Virginia. That's my prediction right now. We almost won last time, and Trump's going to come down here. He's going to do some rallies. And you guys up there, you Democrats that run this state, you be ready for next year. Trump's going to take Virginia. That's all I got.
Well, I tell you what, if you asked me a week ago if we had a shot in hell of winning the electoral votes for Trump in Virginia, I'd say no. If you asked me today, like you say, Rich, I think we definitely have a chance to win, and I hope that I'm involved in it in some way, but I have no doubt in my mind that both of these Democratic congresswomen are going to lose, Loria and Spanberger, and whoever the nominee is, they're going to win, So those seats are gone. I think Mark Warner's in big trouble, and I think people are going to come out of the woodwork because this is an outrage of the ages. And basically, it's like what I said about Spanberger yesterday. You know, Spanberger comes out with this heavy heart speech nonsense, all feigned, right? She also campaigned for a year talking about she'd be different. She'd work with the president. She'd want to get things done when she was running against Dave. Lawyer did the same thing against Scott Taylor. It's all lies, okay? The 7th District, which we're in today, where I'm broadcasting from in Richmond, our flagship, Trump won this district by 7 points. You know what Spanberger said to the Trump voters yesterday? Screw you. You're basically too stupid to have a job anyway. I know best. You know what? We'll find out who knows best come November 2nd, 2020. Thank you. Rich in Virginia Beach, thank you. Let's get to Marshall in Brooklyn, home of the Brooklyn Nets. Marshall in Brooklyn. Great to have you, sir.
John, good morning.
Yes, sir.
It's good to be here, taking the first time calling about President Trump's impeachment last night.
Thank you, Marshall.
Can you believe this?
No.
Can you believe what America and the world think?
No.
President Trump is finally impeached. Truly impeached. Mm-hmm. On the abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Mm-hmm. After 6.5 disappointed hours. That's 6 hours. 6 hours of all things going on. Washington is in a not going to be a very good morning right now. It's a very tough morning.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be a very sad day for our country instead. Not this time. But in New York, local leaders saying about President Trump's impeachment, including Borough President Eric Adams and our city's Mayor Bill de Blasio, as well as Governor of the great state, Mr. Andrew Cuomo. He must be impeached.
So what are they doing, the de Blasio chicken dance today in New York?
I can't believe you said the Blasio's chicken dance. You make me really laugh this morning, sir.
Well, I'm glad you tune every day.
And by the way, Mr. John Fedricks.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right?
That's close enough, sir.
What?
It's close enough, Marshall. Go ahead.
I just follow you on Twitter, but thank you for following my tweets.
No, always, man. It's fun. And look, tune me in every day. Have you downloaded our app yet?
It's from my Amazon Fire 7. I have the Amazon App Store if I like.
I have no idea what that is, but it sounds pretty technically advanced. Hey, don't forget, go to our website, TrumpNationNews.com. Marshall in Brooklyn, go to TrumpNationNews.com. Marshall, you have a good time there. TrumpNationNews.com. Marshall in Brooklyn. Hey, what's
America great again?
What's up with the Nets?
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
The Brooklyn Nets are having a very good time. They beat the Pelicans on Monday night.
Right. But they're a pretty good team.
But the New York Knicks having a good one, too.
Knicks?
Yep. The New York Knickerbockers.
All right, Marshall. In Brooklyn, New York. Thanks, man.
By the way, Mr. John Fredericks, before I leave, let's make New York and America great again. Let's keep New York and America great.
All right. Marshall wants to keep New York City great again, like it was under Giuliani and Bloomberg. Great mayors, by the way. You can say what you want about Bloomberg running for president and all the gun thing and the money he spent, but he was a great mayor and excellent mayor, and so was Giuliani. They really turned it around when they – remember Giuliani had taken over from David Jenkins. Place was a rat hole. And I lived there, so I would know. All right, got a couple of texts here I got to get to. Phone line still open, 888-480-JOHN. Lineup today, Steve Bannon, 705. Hogan Gidley, White House, 735. 805, Nick Freitas running against Abigail Spanberger for Congress, 835, Denver Riggleman. Let's get to a couple texts here. Mark in Norfolk says, we are so pumped up to support Scott Taylor and get rid of lousy Elaine Laurier. Please ask Scott to do some sort of rally, and we will gather tons of support for him. I'm going to send this text right now, Mark. I'm going to do it because, you know, I'm a big Scott Taylor fan. And he's a friend of mine. He's an FOJ, friend of John. And as you know, I'm loyal. I stick by my friends to the death. Let's see. Yasa in Chester says, I love Kiera doing the weather. Yay!
Thank you.
Then she says, do you think they're going to drag this out till next November in hopes they win the Senate? I'll ask, oh, it's Yasa in Dinwiddie. I'm sorry. Yasa, I will ask Steve Bannon that when he comes on in a few minutes. let's see what else we got. Eugene in Chesterfield. Ooh, this is a good one. Eugene says, to quote the Japanese admiral after the attack on Pearl Harbor, I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. Very good, Eugene. Do we have the best callers, Kara, or what? Ivan says, what a waste, Ivan in Woodbridge. What a waste of time, money, and national energy. The Democrats and deep state swamparinos must be held swamparinos must be held I like that word, swamparinos, must be held accountable on election day by we the people. That's Ivan in Woodbridge. Joseph in Suffolk says, what if Pelosi withholds the articles from the Senate until the Senate agrees to the type of trial she wants? And we've already talked about that a little bit. And then we've also got Glenn in Hampton, who says, can she just drag this impeachment out until November and never give the articles to the Senate? Well, we're going to ask Steve Bannon that when he comes on at 7:05. Meantime, we're going to go to the top of the hour news. I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Have a great lineup. And we got Bannon, 7:05, Hogan Gidley, White House, 7:35. Nick Freitas, 8:05, Denver Riggleman, 8:35, War Room Impeachment, Steve Bannon, 9:05. All right here on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Go to TrumpNationNews.com. Do me a favor, a personal favor. I really appreciate it. Go to TrumpNationNews.com. Sign up for our alerts. You're going to really enjoy it. It's short. It's sweet. I put no article up there over 300 words. Right? It's a new day is dawn, baby. I just give it to you straight. John Fredericks, Radio Network, and we're trucking the truth across America.
You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or not. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you'll be bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not fight. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Watch out, better watch out.